Well, this morning I want to share with you about the secret of self-esteem. It's something that affects every person at the very core of their being. In fact, every human being is locked in a battle with their own insecurity. That's because none of us are perfect, right? We all know that about ourselves, and we have this fear that others might find that out. Everyone, even highly successful people, face the enemy of insecurity. That little voice that's inside of us that tells us that we're not quite good enough. The battle for self-esteem is a battle that's fought inside, mostly against ourselves and against our sinful, fallen nature. To illustrate this, let me start off with a true story from World War II. On April 11th of 1945, General Patton and his army liberated the Nazi concentration camp, Buchenwald. Only an hour after being liberated, Rabbi Herschel Schachter was the first army chaplain to enter into that camp. And there he found hundreds of starving men piled in bunks from floor to ceiling. Although these Jewish prisoners had been freed, they remained in their bunks. When they saw the American soldiers in their uniforms and carrying their weapons, they assumed that the new uniforms just meant new captors and new prison guards. So everyone remained exactly as they were, imprisoned. That is until Rabbi Schachter arrived and spoke to them in their own language. In Hebrew, he told them, "Peace be upon you. Jews, you are free." And when the prisoners heard those words, they arose from their bunks and began streaming out of the barracks to a life of freedom. In a similar way, many people today live in self-imposed prisons. Prisons of shame, prisons of doubt, prisons of rejection, prisons of low self-esteem. And even though Jesus has liberated us, many still live in these self-imposed prisons. Like the Jews and Buchenwald, they allow a defeated enemy to have power over them. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us this declaration of freedom. He says, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." In other words, we are free from our past, free from our past failures, free from our past fears, and our past perceptions of ourselves. This morning I want to share with you the secret of finding true self-esteem. Now, when I say self-esteem, I don't mean self-importance or self-centeredness or arrogance. Those are not the same as self-esteem. In fact, self-centeredness is usually a symptom of low self-esteem. Because when we don't have a sense of self-worth, we go looking for it, and usually in all the wrong places. True self-esteem doesn't cause us to put others down. We only do that when we don't feel good about ourselves. So this morning, I want to talk about the secret of finding that true self-esteem. Because all people, no matter who they are, face a struggle with their own insecurity. For example, several years ago, television star Suzanne Somers was on a talk show discussing her experience as an adult child of an alcoholic parent. During the course of the interview, she said that her therapist made a comment that she had the lowest self-esteem of anyone he had counseled. And she acknowledged the truth in that statement. And her admission surprised many people, because during that time, she was the star of a top-rated TV show, and she was often featured on the cover of popular magazines. Most people have thought that Suzanne Somers had every reason to feel good about herself. But strangely, this is a common experience, a common occurrence. Those whom we think should have high self-esteem, like athletes and actors and models and movie stars, many times suffer the most from a low self-image. This is an affliction that is no respecter of persons. Everyone, at least at some time in their life, suffers with low self-esteem. It might be caused by the society we live in, or maybe because of the way our parents raised us, or because of the standards that we set for ourselves. But it's extremely difficult for a person to make it into adulthood without facing some serious challenges to their self-esteem. And a big part of the reason is because of all the unrealistic expectations that we put upon ourselves. It's easy to go through life feeling like we just don't measure up. Now, there were thousands, even millions of women who felt inadequate because they weren't as attractive as Suzanne Somers. And yet Suzanne Somers had her own reasons for feeling inadequate. You break it down, all low self-esteem comes from the same place. The cause of low self-esteem is simply this: judging ourselves by the wrong standards. We judge ourselves by the wrong standards. We used to have a bathroom scale that never gave the right weight. You have one of those in your house? No matter how many times you step on it, it always gave a different number. You get on it once, and the number would be up 5 pounds. Then you get off and get back on it again, and it'd be down another 10 pounds. You can never get an accurate reading from it. In a similar way, by listening to society or to Hollywood or our peers or advertising or even our own crazy notions of what we think we're supposed to be, we're making the very same mistake. We're using an unreliable scale to determine our self-worth. We're judging ourselves by the wrong standard. And so what is the right standard? If there are so many influences in our lives contributing to our poor self-esteem, then how can we find a reliable scale for determining our self-worth? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul teaches us how we can determine our self-worth. He tells us what we are and why we matter. He writes these words. He says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be right with God through Christ." From Paul's words in this text that I just read, I'd like to give you three sources where true self-esteem can be found. Here's the first one. Self-esteem can be found in our identity. Low self-esteem is based on a distorted perception of ourselves and our identity. We see ourselves as less than we really are, and we struggle with low self-esteem. And then we often go looking for a sense of self-worth in all the wrong places, which only leads to things that make it worse. Women who stay with abusive men, teenagers who give in to peer pressure, addicts who medicate themselves with their drug of choice, people struggling with eating disorders, people struggling with anxiety and depression, and people who just settle for second best, all because they're convinced that this is who I am and this is all I deserve. All sorts of people live in this self-imposed prison of low self-esteem, all because of a distorted perception of their identity. But thankfully, Paul gives us a more accurate portrait of who we truly are. In verse 17, he says, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Our true identity is in Christ. And when we receive him into our hearts and our lives, he makes us a new person. When you become a Christian, you become brand new. And it's a lot more than just a small improvement. For example, if I had an old 1984 Ford station wagon and I had the engine rebuilt and I had the body work done and put a new paint job on it, and we'd find that my car would look a lot better, but it would still be the same car, just improved. It would still be a 1984 station wagon. But if I traded that new Ford station wagon in for a brand new 2017 Ford Focus, that 2017 Ford would be new. It would be an exchange from the old for the new. Now, in a similar way, when we say yes to Christ, we are not just improved, we are born again. We're made spiritually brand new. We exchange natures from the old sinful nature and become brand new, a brand new creation in Christ. Where before we might have considered ourselves unworthy, now in Christ we have been made worthy. Before we might have only seen and been aware of our sinfulness, now in Christ, we've been made righteous because of our identity in Christ. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, "Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him." Here's something that every Christian needs to understand, that everything that happened to Christ in his death and resurrection becomes a part of us, of who we are. Because by faith, we are united with Christ. To understand this better, think of marriage. Before a man and a woman are engaged to be married, they have different last names, they have separate bank accounts, and they live in separate houses. But when they are married, they are joined. They share the same last name, they live under the same roof, and share a joint bank account. They have become legally joined together in marriage. In a similar way, when we come to Christ, we are joined with Christ. We're joined with him in his death, and we're joined with him in his resurrection. A man and a woman are united in marriage by pledging their marriage vows to one another. And we are united with Christ when we put our faith in him. When that happens, then everything that happened to Christ in his death and resurrection becomes a part of us. Because by faith, we are united to Christ. That means in Christ, we have been given a new identity. By faith, I am not who I used to be. I am a new person. In Christ, I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I belong to God. I'm a member of Christ's body. I am forgiven. I have purpose. I have hope. I am chosen before the creation of the world. I am holy and blameless. I am the salt and light of the earth. I am God's workmanship. I am seated with Christ in heavenly realms. I am a dwelling for the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I am a new creation. I am a new person. When we battle feelings of low self-esteem, we can be freed by finding our new identity in Christ. There's a story about a Methodist preacher who visited a poor man. He told the minister that he would like to come to church, but he just didn't have any decent Sunday clothes. And so the preacher arranged for the man to be given a brand new navy blue suit and a white-collar shirt and some wingtip shoes and a colorful silk tie. But the following Sunday, the preacher was concerned because the man didn't show up for the service. So that afternoon, the Methodist preacher got on the phone and called the man to make sure that he had received the new suit. The man told the preacher, "Yes, I received it. In fact, it's the nicest suit that I've ever worn. But when I put it on, I looked so nice, I decided I looked good enough to go to the Presbyterian church." Now, just like the man found a new identity in a new suit, we need to find our identity in Christ. We need to see ourselves as he sees us. We need to recognize that we are not the pitiful, unworthy failure or victim that we thought we were. The Bible says that everyone who is in Christ is a new creation, and that's our identity. So first of all, self-esteem can be found in our identity. And second, self-esteem can be found in our mission. People with low self-esteem often lack a sense of purpose, and they're not likely to pursue a dream. People with low self-esteem usually are afraid to try anything that's significant in life because they find it hard to believe that they could accomplish it. It's much safer to settle for mediocrity. It's much safer not to try. But imagine for a moment that your phone rings early one morning and you answer it and you're shocked to discover that the mayor of Saskatoon, Charlie Clark, is on the other end of the line. And the mayor calls you by name and says, "I need you to come to City Hall right away. This is important. There's an important job that needs to be done. And of all the people in the city, you're the only one who can pull it off." Wouldn't that be amazing if that really happened? And don't you think that being given such a crucial mission that you'd have a positive impact, would have a positive impact on your self-esteem or self-worth? Well, Paul tells us that we've been given a mission that's even of greater importance. In verses 18, 19, and 20, he says, "And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors." Paul's saying that your mission is to be involved in helping the world be reconciled to God. God has given you this mission and has given you a role that only you can play. Now, the nature of your involvement in this mission might be determined by a number of different factors, such as your spiritual giftings, your abilities, your interests, and so on. But it's essential that we realize that he is serious about your involvement in this mission. He has committed to you the message of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus. Many people derive their self-esteem from what they do professionally. If the title or salary or job description is important enough, then they feel good about themselves. But the truth is, our professional calling isn't nearly as important as our spiritual calling. Now, whether you're a student or a stay-at-home parent or a salesperson or a tradesperson or a professional, we're all called to do everything we do for the glory of God. We're all called to be ambassadors for Christ. All of us play a role in God's plan. And just the fact that God values you enough to include you in his plan indicates that you have tremendous worth to him. Your God-given mission is not about living up to the expectations of others. It's about knowing that your life matters to God and has a God-given purpose. Our self-esteem should be found in our mission and not in our accomplishments. In fact, the little that we do accomplish might never really seem to amount to much. Even those who made history, like St. Francis of Assisi or John Wesley and Billy Graham, made comments about how relatively insignificant their efforts seemed in view of God's great plan. Several years ago, after winning the Nobel Peace Prize, Mother Teresa decided that she would not accept any more recognition because the accolades were beginning to interfere with her work. She knew that she was not in the business of accepting prizes and making speeches. Her calling was to serve the poor of Calcutta. And like Mother Teresa, it's better for us to focus on our mission, not our accomplishments. We can feel good about ourselves because of the mission to which we have been called. Your self-esteem is not rooted in your meager accomplishments, but rather in the glory of having been called to something much, much bigger than yourself. Thirdly, self-esteem can be found in our potential. I'm not sure how many sports fans we have here, but you ever noticed that most sports teams give themselves names or labels that are meant to inspire a winning tradition and even intimidate maybe the other team? Names like the Wolverines, or the Bulls, or the Eagles, or the Broncos. And then some teams have names that are kind of lame. You know, for example, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Anaheim Ducks, the Philadelphia Phillies. What's a Philly? I don't know. The Cleveland Browns, even the Ottawa Red Blacks. These are not names one would immediately associate with a winning by intimidation kind of tradition, nor would I call them very inspiring names. If I had to wear a team jersey, then I think I'd rather wear one that has a name or a logo that inspires. In a similar way, the labels we give ourselves can either inspire or discourage us. The labels we place on ourselves are indicative of our self-esteem. Labels like loser, failure, lazy, ugly, stupid, and so on. And maybe you've done some things in the past that generate that kind of a label. But now God has given you a new label. Forgiven. Forgiven. Paul tells us in verse 21, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ." God doesn't label you according to your past. He labels you according to your potential. Your old label may have been sinner, but your new label is saint. Your old label may have been guilty, but your new label is forgiven. Your old label was dead in sin, but your new label is alive in Christ. Because of Christ, God no longer sees your past. He sees your potential. Now, regardless of what you think about yourself, the Bible makes it clear what God thinks about you. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight." God doesn't see your past. He sees your potential. Do you know that Jesus had a disciple who was stubborn, impulsive, violent, argumentative, and selfishly ambitious? Can you guess what Jesus named him? He named him Peter, which means rock, the rock. We might only see the man who denied Jesus, who deserted him during his final hours, who struck the soldier with his sword, who refused to have his feet washed, who tried to walk on water but sank, who made mistake upon mistake during his lifetime. But Jesus saw a leader of the early church. He saw the man who would bring 3,000 souls to Christ on the day of Pentecost. He saw the man who would someday write scripture. He saw the man who would be courageous enough to give his life as a martyr for Christ. He saw the man who Peter would become, not the man that Peter was or had been. In the same way, Jesus sees your potential, not your past. And when you judge yourself according to your potential, you eliminate the reason for having poor self-esteem, because your potential is literally unlimited. As Paul says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." The source of self-esteem is knowing that we serve an awesome God who loves us. True self-esteem is about our relationship with God. There was once a tiny flea who was riding on an elephant's ear. And they came to a wooden bridge, and as they crossed, the bridge wobbled badly and almost collapsed. And when they got to the other side, the flea said to the elephant, "Boy, do we ever shake that bridge." Of course, the flea wasn't really able to shake the bridge on his own. But as long as he's riding on the elephant, he's able to participate in the bridge-shaking experience. Now, in a similar way, we can feel good about ourselves, not because of anything that we've done, but because of our relationship to an awesome God. And the secret of self-esteem is seeing yourself as God sees you. When he looks at you, he sees a new creation. He sees someone with a mission in life. He sees someone with unlimited potential. And you begin to see yourself the same way. When you see yourself as God sees you, then you have learned the secret of true self-esteem. I invite the worship team to come as we pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you take us out of the pit and you lift us up. You make us your children. You make us one with Christ, united with him. We are victorious, O God. We are conquerors in Christ. And we have a glorious hope in the future. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you that you take us from where we were and you change us, you transform us right from the inside out, making us more and more like Christ. And Lord God, you do that work as we walk in grace. We haven't got it all figured out. We haven't got it perfect. But Lord, you continue to work on us, working that good work in us to its completion. And we know that one day, Lord, we are in the resurrection, that we will be complete in every way like Jesus. And Father, thank you that you continue to work in us. Thank you that you had such value in us, that you had a plan of redemption, that you went through with that, sending Jesus to the cross, and then raising him from the dead and putting his spirit within us. The spirit of Christ lives within us. And Father, I pray that you would fill all of us with a fresh sense of who we are in Christ. Fill us with your spirit, empower us, O God, and help us to just continue to move forward in that work as we bring glory to you through that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are your ambassadors wherever we go and whatever we're doing, that we would bring glory to you. And Father, that would give us a great sense of worth as we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.